Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:24 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 10th. Well, this has been a day which has had a lot of mixed action because you had the day starting off very positively in China, where they have announced a stimulus package which is quite remarkable, and it equals about 80% of government spending last year. So that's going to be a massive increase in the Chinese attempt to offset the slowing economy with massive investment in infrastructure and support for the domestic economy. We can also expect taxes to be cut, interest rates to be cut, stimulus across the boards to be put into that market, and as they said themselves, they intend to be heavy-handed. So there's money going to be thrown around that economy in the next 2 years. The question, of course, remains as to how long it will take for that money to filter down to Main Street and to your average consumer. A lot of people in China are complaining about the fact that inflation was extremely high earlier on this year, and they saw prices rising for food and just about all goods. But wages didn't keep pace. So you've had a scaling back of the quality of life for a lot of people, and that is obviously helping to slow down the consumer economy, and there will need to be some sort of stimulus package that really hits home to people on Main Street to help get the domestic economy moving once more. But what China has more than any other country is that they have the cash with which to do it. We can expect stimulus packages coming through over the next 6 months to a year from the US and the UK and probably a number of the economies in Europe and probably Japan as well, maybe Australia, even Canada. And there is the difference there that while some of those countries have run budget surpluses historically, the Chinese have got the biggest foreign exchange reserves in the world, and they have the, well, they're the only country in the world, I think, that can go to the World Bank and tell them how much they want to borrow rather than having it the other way around. So that is a big positive for the Chinese market over the medium to longer term. In the short term, it's probably going to take some time for it to filter through. It had a good feed through into trading right across Europe or right across Asia, and in the early part of the day, it was quite positive for the European region. But as the day wore on, the gains in Europe started to fade, and you had some rather grim news, or news that is grim for sentiment, pushing through in the US, and you had the Dow closing down less than 1%, having had quite a mixed day. And part of the reason for that is you have a number of really rather big household name companies coming out with news that doesn't help to bolster sentiment. You have Goldman Sachs likely to post their first loss since they went public, and you have GM with one bank saying that they thought that GM may actually go to zero, and it fell, I think, 25% today. And you had Google also testing the lows that we've seen over the last 3 months, although it has found support at this $300 level on a number of occasions over the last couple of weeks. And yes, the lower highs remain intact, so that is still a consistent downtrend. It really does need to take out those lower highs to suggest that the support that's in place at the moment for Google is going to hold. So there remains an extreme amount of uncertainty in stock markets, and that is against the background of other asset classes doing rather differently, because you have emerging government bond yields have come way off the peak that they hit a couple of weeks ago. You've also had the yen has had its biggest rally since, or sorry, it's had its biggest pullback since the strengthening that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 months, and particularly against a number of those emerging market currencies, or the Australian dollar or the New Zealand dollar, it's come back a lot. So, though that's another good indication. You also have the TED spread and the OIS spreads contracting even further, although still well above the areas where we could sound and all clear for the credit markets. There's a dichotomy though, because what we have a clear difference between the types of instruments that institutional investors have access to, such as the interbank spread market or emerging market government debt, and what your retail investor has access to, which is your general stock market. And general stock markets remain really quite nervous, and we don't have anything in the way of major upward dynamics in on Wall Street particularly to really tell us that support is going to be found immediately above those mid-October lows. There are a couple of those European indices look a bit more positive, particularly the DAX in Germany, where you have that big upward dynamic we saw 3 weeks ago, and it has held on to the vast majority of its gain to date. So a number of those European markets are looking a bit better than Wall Street, but they are going to take their cue from how well we see Wall Street finding support above those mid-October lows. But given the fact that you have signals in other asset classes, and particularly the types of things that institutional investors have access to and will be looking at, that still leaves us on track for the potential for these markets to have a reasonably good rally back towards their 200-day moving average and offsetting that very oversold condition they continue to have. And there is probably going to be some need of a catalyst in between now and when that occurs, but at the moment things are looking quite positive. Now, couple of other things that are certainly worthy of mention. You had oil today, it was up quite a bit earlier on, I think $3 or $4 early on in the session, then went down and tested $59, bounced back, and now it's at 62. So $60 continues in the very short term to provide an area of support. And of course, this market has fallen an awful lot, so it's probably not the best decision to become increasingly bearish, considering the fact that it's down well in excess of 50%. Natural gas is also quite a bit firmer in here today. It's up 44 cents. It's back above $7, and it's broken its progression of lower highs. So that is also looking quite positive, and more than any of the other energy-related commodities, it does look like that natural gas has further to go on the upside. And palladium has also broken its progression of lower highs. It is well off its highs in here today and closed a little bit down on the day, but that is also starting to round around here at the bottom. You don't have the same type of evidence for platinum, but it is certainly slowing down in its downward pa the pace at which it has fallen and starting to find support. And silver also remains above that $10 level. It also closed off its highs in here today, but as long as silver can sustain that move above the $10 level, then I think there is reason to be cautiously optimistic about its potential upside. And of course, it has fallen quite considerably from the highs that were posted earlier on in the year. Gold is hovering somewhere around that $750 level. It was above it for most of the day and slightly below it in here at the moment. But also, gold has rallied well from the lows we saw a couple of weeks ago. Over the sort of the medium-term outlook, it remains in a downtrend with three lower highs, and it really does need to push back above its 200-day moving average to signal to us that there is demand returning in force, or that really the malaise which it has slipped into over the last 6 or 7 weeks has been broken out of. This was also a rather firm day for the treasury markets, but these with treasuries having such, there are so many of them around, and you have the debt or the borrowing requirements of so many governments are about to increase considerably. There's no demand, or sorry, there's plenty of demand for these government bonds right now because people remain so remarkably nervous. But if 6 months from now we continue to see bond prices up around these levels, I will be quite surprised, because I think by that time we will have had at least some steadying in the stock markets. The thing that I am most cautious about at the moment is predicting anything beyond a short to medium term rally for stock markets, because it is impossible to say just where markets are going to consolidate following the unwinding of some of that oversold condition. And we'll be in a much better position to make a judgment call on that by the time the new year has swung around. The industrial metals had a reasonably good day in here today, and that is almost certainly has a lot to do with what China announced. But you had silver up, sorry, you had, excuse me, you had copper up 7 cents, you had nickel up 330, and they are off their highs in here, and that is more to do with what's happened on Wall Street, I suspect. But if you have China boosting the amount of infrastructure that it is about to build, that should be positive for the commodity sector. The commodity-related stock markets are unlikely to move back into a peer or a position of outperformance until we get a global synchronized economic expansion again, and there's little chance of that this year or next year. So we remain in a position where the outlook for the individual commodities will need to be taken on their individual merits, and for those industrial metals, the outlook does appear to be improving somewhat in terms of demand. But for the actual commodity producing country indices, it may take some more time before the outlook will turn back to the position of outperformance that they had until about July of this year. So it will be extremely interesting to keep watching those, and particularly relative to some of the other indices around the world, to see where that relative performance lies. And it's quite easy to do that with the performance filter in the chart library. The other thing that we've had here today was that the dollar was quite a bit weaker earlier on in the session, but firmed up as uncertainty continues to reign in stock markets, and we continue to see people remaining extremely nervous. So that is putting a bid under the dollar and the yen at the moment. For the dollar index, it is hard to say that it has peaked, because there's no great evidence of the dollar index itself having peaked beyond having a normal sized range within what has been quite a consistent uptrend. When you look at the dollar versus some of the emerging market currencies, it's much easier to say that the dollar has peaked relative to, for example, the Korean won or the Mexican peso. But the yen has most certainly had its biggest reaction within a consistent uptrend, and that is something that we can look at and say that that the amount of uncertainty that pushed that yen up so high, and the deleveraging process that closed so many of those carry trades, or at least put them under pressure, has had a respite over the last few weeks, and that has been broadly supportive of stock markets, particularly in emerging markets. And unless we see the yen strengthening and taking out the highs that we saw them it put in versus a lot of those currencies which have become increasingly weak against the yen, then we can continue to say that for the short to medium term, the deleveraging process has had, or that we're in a respite from the deleveraging process. The longer that respite continues, the greater confidence investors will have. And it won't be until well after the fact, whenever it is, that we'll be able to say that the deleveraging process has indeed ended, because it's certainly just too early to make that call right now. But with that thought, I will leave you for the evening, and thank you very much for your time.